So today, dear brothers and sisters, we begin, or we continue, our journey through Matthew with the next part of the Sermon on the Mount, in which will continue for quite some time. We'll read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 between now and Lent, and then when after Easter, when ordinary time picks up again in May, June, we'll continue with the Sermon on the Mount. And this is, as I was saying last week, this is an important roadmap to Christianity. And last week, Jesus has a lot of people who are following him, and he calls them and his apostles, and he begins to teach them about what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means to be Christian. And so last week we heard that one of the biggest impediments that keep us from being Christian is our pride. Whether we realize it or not, pride is something very real and very deeply entrenched in us. We heard Jesus was saying that to be a Christian, you need humility. We need to root out the pride that is in us. Now that's a work of a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to root out just how deep pride runs in us. But it's a daily work. And so if we're working on it every day, then we're working towards the Christian life. And so we said that in order to combat this pride that is deep in us, we need a very important virtue, which is a virtue of humility. And this is why Jesus says, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, blessed are the humble, because it is in humility that we truly follow Christ. We were saying last week that St. Augustine, who was a very smart man and wrote many things, he said that the top three virtues are humility, humility, and humility. Because that's what we need for the Christian life. Now, Jesus today continues his discussion, and he continues his sermon, and he uses two images here. He says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Now, Jesus speaks in very poetic, beautiful words. When you hear them, they kind of give you the warm fuzzy, you know. What I mean by that is even in Catholic circles, when it comes to Catholic songs on salt and light, I think there's something like 2,500 songs in the Catholic Church on salt and light. Yeah, we've used the poetic language a little bit ad nauseum, tell you the truth. But because they're very poetic, they're very nice. They're very nice, very, very high words. But and I think that because we have used them in the romantic sense, we have really lost the sense of what it really means to be salt and to be light. And to understand salt, we have to kind of put ourselves back into the time of Jesus. In the time of Jesus, salt had two primary purposes. First, because refrigeration was not yet invented, the only way to preserve meat was to bury it in salt. There's no refrigeration. So you'll only keep meat by preserving it in salt. So that was its primary purpose. And so salt in the time of Jesus had a high value. You know, they did commerce in salt. You know, it was as valuable as money because of its importance. Salt also had a second primary function, which is the function that we use it more for today, which is to give taste to the food. And so salt in the time of Jesus had these very important functions, and also light. The light bulb has not been created yet, and so they are using oil lamps, which make life very. I mean, there is no, you know, high power fiber optic cables that you can run to a house anymore. There, you know, there's oil lamps, and when it gets dark, it's dark. I mean, you've seen it here. When it gets dark, it's dark. But thank God we have electricity, so you can see. So anyway, in this time, salt and light have a very important image, and Jesus uses them because they would have carried an important meaning to the people who were listening to him. Now, what does this have to do with us? And it actually has a lot to do with us, because we have to understand that Jesus is comparing salt and light to the Christian life. And what he's saying about salt is that if salt's primary purpose in his time is to preserve meat and to give taste to food, what Jesus is saying, or also the oil lamp, the primary purpose of an oil lamp is to provide light. What Jesus is saying is that those things are not, so salt is not salt to serve itself. Do you know what I mean? Are you with me so far? I got you? Okay. I gotta make sure I have you. So salt doesn't serve salt. Light is not light for itself. And so therefore, to be a Christian, we are not Christians for ourselves. You with me? You following me? It's important. Okay? We're not meant to be Christians. You see, the world has tried and has done very well in a lot of our cases to box us in. In other words, you are only Christian within the four Sunday walls that you come to. Worship the God you worship, and once you've gotten that out of your system, go back Sunday night, because Monday morning, real life begins. And we have very well kind of acquiesced to that. We have said it's true, and so there are a couple of things that we really don't talk about outside of these four walls, because they're not safe in a lot of circles. And if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we don't go around in our life with a sign saying, "I'm Catholic." And not, well, Father, I would never go around with a sign anyway, but if anybody even asks us, we kind of, because in a lot of cases, it's not popular to be Christian outside of these walls. It's not popular to live the faith. It's the same with politics. So these things, we keep religion boxed here. And so the danger is that then we become Christians for ourselves. So we come here on Sunday, we kneel before God, we say, "Lord, help me, help my wife, help my children, help my boss, give me a new job, give me whatever I need," and then we go out. But my dear brothers and sisters, we are not Christians for us. If salt's purpose is to give flavor to food, so is a Christian's purpose to give flavor to the world. As you may know, I dabble in cooking, and I dabble in Italian food. I say I dabble. I'm not a chef. I'm not a cook. I just dabble. It's a hobby. It's my slight hobby. And so one of my favorite dishes to make is, you call it here, tomato sauce, which is really gravy, but let's not get into that discussion. Let's not get into that discussion. Please, let's not have that discussion. You call gravy brown and white, and let's not have that discussion. Anyway, so I don't know if you've ever tried to make, we'll go with your term, tomato sauce and not put salt in it. I mean, if tomatoes are by their very nature acidic as heck. And so if you try to eat tomato sauce without any salt, you can put oregano, you can put basil, you can put however many other flavors you may want you put into it, it still needs salt. Because salt gives its flavor. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, we too cannot be Christians to serve ourselves in these four walls. We are meant to bring taste, to bring flavor to a world that needs God. Now what do I mean by this? I'm going to use a little audience participation. Let me see, who do I want to bug? Who's on my list? See, I keep a list of people I like to bug. Let's see. Oh, there we go. I'll bug him. Hi, Cody. So, Cody is a veterinarian. Just I go with somebody who I know their profession. Now, why is it important that Cody is a veterinarian? Because Cody is not a veterinarian for himself. He didn't go to years of school to just say, okay, I know all of these things about animals and now I do nothing. No, he went to all of the years of school so that those things that he learned could be put to use to help animals. But primarily, so before Cody is a veterinarian, he's primarily a Christian. And so therefore, we have a Christian veterinarian. And what do I mean by that? Is that he is a Christian not just here, but hopefully, and this works for every profession in this building, I choose one to give him a hard time and also to make a point. He is a Christian veterinarian which is meant to bring his Christianity to the work that he does. We can do this for doctors, for the lawyers, for the what I'll call the computer geeks in the room. Oh, or you say, well, Father, what does coding have to do with Christianity? It has everything to do with it. For the stay-at-home moms, for the kids who go to school, you and I are Christians meant to give flavor, meant to bring God to this world. And this is why we heard in the first reading what the first reading was saying, which is, give food to the hungry, help the needy, be kind to the stranger. Because my dear brothers and sisters, if we do not take the Christianity that we have received and live it in our life, this is all a waste of time. And it is you and I who are sitting in these pews. We are the ones that God has chosen to bring Christ to the world. In our little ways, we don't have to do it in grandiose ways. You know, we think, well, that's the Pope's job to bring God to the world. Well, I hate to tell you, none of us in this room are going to be a Pope. Most likely. And so in our own little worlds and in our own little ways, we have to put the talents to use that God has given us to make God present. So my dear brothers and sisters, today as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that we may truly, that we may truly put everything we are at the service of what we do, because everybody you serve, if you think about all of the jobs and all of the people that you come in contact with, Imagine if we could just bring a little Christianity, a little bit of God, to a fraction of the amount of people that we encounter. Imagine how much better the world would be just by doing it in our own little ways. And so as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that we may truly be willing to live our Christianity, to truly be salt and to truly be light to this world. Let us stand and profess our faith.